All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on the Gemara. Memtes Talmud Beis. So the Gemara is like this. Amar Shmuel. So if you remember, Gemara will say the Mishnah spoke about all the different variations of Birkas HaMazon depending on the size of the group that you are benching with. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Olam al yoti adam atzma min haklal. Shmuel said a person really should never go ahead and remove themselves from the collective. So what Shmuel is referring to, Virashi points out, al yoti atzmo ach al pisha ba'arbal hu rasha ilamar l'shol shabarchu. Tovlo Shiyomar Levarich. So what Shmuel is pointing out is the following. Remember again, the statement the Mishnah made is if you're benching with a Mezumin, so you say Nevarich. But if you're benching with four, i.e. a Mezumin plus you, so then you, the leader, speak to the group and say Baruchu. So Shmuel says, you know what? It's better not to remove yourself from the group. Baruchu is you speaking to the group, which by definition infers that you are not part of the group. So Shmuel says, always better to go ahead and say Nevarich, even if there are four. So the Gemara says, Tznan, Omer Baruchu. But the Gemara says, what do you do with the Mishnah that says that if there are three plus him, a total of four, he says to the group, Baruchu, Ema, Tap of Nun, Ema af baruchu. So the Gemara says what the Mishnah really means to say is you can also use the formulation of baruchu. That's not the preferred formulation. The preferred formulation is nevarich, benches a group. But if you said baruchu, it's okay also. Umikomakum nevarich adif. But reciting nevarich and including yourself in the group is even more preferred. The Amarav adabar ava omri beirav tanina. So the Gemara says like this. We learned elsewhere. Vav nechlokin ad yud. That if you have a group, let's say, of six, so a group of six can subdivide into two groups of three. And you could continue to subdivide until you get to 10. Once you're at 10, a group of 10 is not permitted to divide, because then by dividing, what would happen? You would lose out on your opportunity for Elokeinu. So the Gemara says, "I amit bishlama nevarich adif." So this statement, that let's say a group of six can divide up into two groups of three, makes sense if you hold that the preferred formulation is Nevarich. Because then, it really makes no difference if you have one group of six, or you have two groups of three. Either way, the formulation of benching is the same of Nevarich. However, Mishum Hakin Nechlokin, Ela, I Amrit Baruchu Adif, Amai Nechlokin. But if you say that Baruchu is the preferred formulation, then why would you be allowed to split? Because after all, both said, remember, Baruchu is only recitable if you have a group of four. So if you have six and you split into two groups of three, you are in fact losing out on the opportunity to say Baruchu. So the Gemara says, Ela lav shma mina nevarich adiv shma mina. But rather, what do you see from here? That nevarich is in fact the preferred formulation, and therefore, again, even if you have a group of six, you're permitted to go ahead and split up into two groups of three. In other words, the Gemara is saying the statement follows Shmuel, that halacha lemaisa, we prefer that the one leading the benching not exclude himself from the group. Tanya nami hochi, bein shamar baruchu, bein shamar nevarich, ein tovsin osa akach. So the Braisa says that whether you go ahead and you say baruchu, or whether you say nevarich, ein tovsin osa akach means we're not going to grab you over that. Which is another way of saying, all right, well, we'll let you go. If that's whatever you say, you say. V'ha-nekdonin tovsin osa akach. So we'll say nekdonin, Rashi points out over here. Rashi says, davkonim, the meticulous ones. Right? So the meticulous ones who are very medaktik, they'll get you. Meaning if you go ahead and you say baruch hu instead of nevarich, they'll point out that mistake to you. And from the way that a person makes a bracha, you can very quickly tell if they're tam tchachim or not. Ketzad, Rebbe Omer, ubituvo, hareze tam tchachim. So we'll say this is referring again to the line in Zimun, ubituvo chayinu, right? And in his good we live. So the Gemara says, if he says ubituvo, that's a tam tchachim. Umituvo, but if he says the word mituvo means from his good, Hare Zebor. This is an ignorant person. So we'll see Rashi points out that the difference in bituvo and mituvo. Mituvo sounds like you're only receiving a little portion of his goodness, which makes it sound like a Kodesh Baruch who just gives you exactly what you need to get by and that's it. As opposed to bituvo, which sounds like more magnanimous blessing. Amar li Abaye Rav Dimi, v'hal ksiv, so he quotes over here from the pasuk from Shmuel, umi birchascha yivorach, beis avdecha liolam. See here what the Gemara is pointing out, what Abaye is pointing out to Rav Dimi, is you have this formulation of umi birchascha. So we wanted to say that mituvo is ignorant because it sounds like God is just giving you a little bit. But yet here, when the Navi speaks, the Navi says, "Umi birchascha," from the blessing of God, He will bless, or actually, it's He will bless the house of your servant. So the Gemara says, "B'she'ela shayni." There's a difference when you're making a statement versus when you're making a request. When you're making a request of God, a person is not permitted to ask for everything. A person asks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them what they need. However, when making a statement about God's greatness, then one is supposed to go ahead and refer to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not in any way indicate that God is stingy. So the Gemara says the following, but even with request, we say, right, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, that literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, open your mouth and I will fill it, which seems to indicate that even when asking for something, man is permitted to ask for a lot. That request is specifically with learning Torah. Tanya Rabbi Omer u'bituvo chayinu harizet hamd chacham. So the Gemara quotes another Bryce that says, Rabbi says that if he says bituvo chayinu as opposed to mituvo chayinu, that's a tamd chacham. Chayim harizet bor. So here's what's interesting. If he said u'bituvo chayim as opposed to chayinu, that's ignorant. Why? What's the distinction there? Because chayinu is a reference to our life. Chayim could be a reference to everyone's life. The idea is the shevach is always most acute when a person relates it back to themselves. If a person just makes a general statement that God is the giver of life, it's very nice, it's certainly praise, but it's not specified praise. Nahar baloi, the nahar baloins, does its place. Nahar baloi masni ibcha. The nahar baloins quoted the opposite halacha. So apparently the Nar Beloi felt that if you say Chaim, Chaim is greater Shevach than Chayinu, but the Gemara says we don't pass it like the Nar Beloi. Amar Rav Yochanan, Nivarech She'achanu Mishalo, Harei Zeh Tamid Chacham. If a person leads benching by saying, let us bless the one from whom we have eaten, that's a Tamid Chacham. L'mi She'achanu Mishalo, from the one from whom we have eaten, Harei Zebur, that's an ignorant person. Now why Rabbi say? Because if you say the Misha Achal Mishalo, so the truth is that doesn't have to be referring to God. That could actually be referring to your Balavas, to your host. So therefore, again, one who uses that formulation, it's not even clear they're praising God altogether. So the Gemara says, Amali Rav Acha Brei Drav Rav Ashi, V'had Da'aminan, L'misha Asa La'avo Seinu V'lanu As Kalanisim Ha'elu. But we say Rabbi say, this is the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu by the Seder. Right before we drink the third kos. So we see the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, and in that bracha we say to him who went ahead and did all who performed all of these miracles for our father, for our forefathers, and for us. So the Gemara is pointing out here is you see that this lashon of lemi is in fact a good lashon of shevach, to which the Gemara says Amar liyahu ha'hasam mukhacha milsa man aved nisi kudsha brichu. So the Gemara says, no. The difference over there is, from the context, we see whom the subject is. Meaning, from the context itself, it's clear that it's talking about God, and therefore you can say l'mi. As opposed to if you were to use that formulation of l'mi by Birkas HaMazon, it's possible that one could erroneously assume that you're referring to the Balabos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch She'achanu Mishalo, Harei Zeh Tamid Chacham. If you say Baruch She'achanu Mishalo, right, blessed is the one from whom we have eaten, that's Tamid Chacham. Ala Mazon She'achanu, Harei Zebur. But if you just simply say, thank you for the food we have eaten, then that's an ignorant person. Rashi says, L'mi She'achanu Mishalo, where was this? Kedisan Ala Mazon She'achanu, Rashi points out over here, V'lo Katani Mishalo. So we'll say what's missing in this part is the Mishalo. If he just says Ala Mazon She'achanu, right, thank you for the food we have eaten, that's ignorant. Why? Because part of the major Shevach that's contained within Zimun is the idea that you've eaten from God's food. So if you just make mention of the Mazon, but don't link the Mazon to the fact that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's ignorant. Amar Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rav Yehoshua, Lo amran ella begimol deleka shem shamayim. So when is it true that if you said al hamazon sha'achalnu, right, and didn't say, let's say, ashachal mishalo, when do we say that that's ignorant? That's only when you're benching with a group of three, and therefore there's no mention of God's names, right? Meaning, so you're not going ahead and saying Elokeinu. Aval ba'asara di'ika shem shamayim. But if you're benching with a minion, where you're going to insert Elokeinu, then what? Muchacha milsa. Then it's understood that even though you didn't say sha'achalnu mishalo, right, you didn't say that you've eaten the food of God, rather you've just said alamazon sha'achalnu, the fact that you mentioned the name of God previously by saying Elokeinu, that's enough to link the shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore be a proper praise. Kidisnan, ki'enyon shehu mevarech, kach onin acharov, baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei HaTzvakos, yoshev hakruvim alamazon sha'achalnu. So the Gemara brings a raya, because they're also in the case of the Mishnah where you're benching with a very large group, and you have, I think this was the case of, when you're benching with 1,000, so if you notice, so obviously with 1,000 you're leading that group, so you'll say Elokeinu, and their response, which is really, we're only focused on the last three words of their response is, yes, blessed is Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, alamazon sha'achalnu, for the food we have eaten. But yet they don't say what? Sha'achalnu mishalo, that you've eaten of his. Now, why don't they have to say we've eaten of his? Because since they've already mentioned the name of God in the previous statement, it's clear whose food they recognize they are eating. Therefore, the Gemara says the same thing over here. That aloha lemaisa, when do we say that baruch alamazon sha'achalnu is not a good response? That's only with stam and mezumin, where there's no mention of God's name. But in a minyan, where there's a mention of God's name, even if you said alamazon sha'achalnu without saying sha'achalnu mishalo, that's okay. Echad asar ve'echad asar ribo. So the Gemara says, Hagul v'kashya. The Mishnah seems to pose an inherent contradiction. How so? Amrit echad asar ve'echad asar ribo. Amo ki adadininu. So Rabbi says, so when the Gemara goes ahead, when the Mishnah first opens up and gives us the formulation for Zimun, so the Mishnah tells us this is the formulation whether you have 10 or whether you have 10,000. So the Mishnah then leads us to believe that the text of Zimun does not change depending on the size of your group. V'hadir katani, but then the Mishnah goes on later on to say what? B'meya omer, that if you have 100 people, this is your formulation for Zimun. B'elef omer, if you have 1,000 people, this is your formulation for Zimun. B'rivo, if you have 10,000 people, omer. So the Mishnah is contradicting itself. Because first the Mishnah says that the formulation of Zimun, the text of Zimun, doesn't change with the size of your group. And then the Mishnah says it does. Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. Ha Rav Yosef haglili, ha Rav Yakiva. The Mishnah reflects two different opinions. One is Rav Yosef haglili, one is Rav Yakiva. This not Rav Yosef haglili omer lifi rov hakal he mevarchim. Shene'emar b'makelos baruchu Elokim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is of the opinion that praise of God depends on the size of the group praising. So the Gemara says, where does he get this from? He quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, B'makelos Baruch Hu Elokim. Makelos means is Lashon Kehila. With gatherings of people, you will bless God. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili understands from that the type or the text of the praise of the God, of the text of the praise that you are giving to God, depends on what? The size of the group you have praising God. Versus Rabbi Akiva, who seems to hold that the standard text for Zimun is always the same, independent of the size of your group. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mamat Sinu Abeis HaKnesses. So interestingly enough, the proof that Rabbi Akiva brings, that Halacha Lamaisa, you have one standard text for Zimun, is that Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, I'm just going to read you the Mishnah. Mama Sinu Bisakneses Echer Merubim Ve'Echer Mu'atim Omer Baruchu Es Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva's proof was, whether you have 10 people for your minion or whether you have 1,000 people for your minion, you're always saying Baruchu Es Hashem. You're using the same formulation. Rabbi Akiva therefore wants to suggest that same thing should be true with Zimun as well. One standard text for Zimun. But Rabbi Akiva, Haikrad Rabbi Yosef Lili Mai Ovidle. What does Rabbi Akiva do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yosi leads? Rabbi Yosi leads the darshins b'makelos baruch hu Elokim. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? So the Gemara says miboyle lechidisanyo. He needs it for the following teaching. Lechidisanyo, how Rabbi Meir Omer? Rabbi Meir used to say, minayin shafidu urim shebemei iman amru shira alayam. How do we know that even children who were in utero, even children in their mother's womb, said Shira, recited Az Yashir at Yamsuf, Shene'emar b'makelos barchu Elokim, with large gatherings you will bless God, Hashem mimkor Yisrael, right? God, they will bless you from the source of the Jewish people. So what he's darshaning over there is, mimkor Yisrael means what? That literally, even the children who were in their source, even the children who were in the womb, would go ahead and bless you as they blessed you at the splitting of the Yam Suf. So Rabbi Akiva used that passage to teach us that. What does Rabbi Yossi HaGlili say? V'idach mimkor nafka. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, you can make the drasha from that pasuk, but just remember, the drasha that you're making about children in utero praising God during Kriyas Yam Suf doesn't come from the phrase of B'makelus Baruch Es Hashem. Rather, it comes from what? The word Mimkor, right? That they pray, even those who were in the Makor, even those who were in the source, even those who were in the womb, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the first part of the Pasuk of B'makelus Baruch Hu Elokim is still open, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, for me to make my drasha that the type of praise for God changes with the size of the group. V'idach, Amar Rava, Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. So Rav said that halacha falls Rabbi Akiva, I will say, which is that halacha lemaisa, the text of Zimun, does not change with the size of the group. The only one exception is the Shulchan Aruch does quote an opinion that says that if you're benching with a group of 10,000, so then halacha lemaisa, according to many, that does have a different Zimun. But if that comes up, you'll send me an email. We'll discuss it then. So the Gemara says the following. I guess if they started serving, dinner at the Siyum HaShas, you might have that Shaila. So Halach Ravikim, Ravina Ravchama Barbuzi, Iklo'u Lebe Reish Kalusa. So Ravina and Ravchama Barbuzi went to the house of the Reish Kalusa. Kam Ravchama Vekama Hader Abbe Meya. So Ravchama was trying to gather a group of 100 people for benching. So apparently the Reish Kalusa had a lot of people over, so they wanted to get 100 people. So Rav Chaim Barbuzi wanted to go ahead and get together 100 people to be able to recite the special Zimun that you could only recite with 100. Amalei Ravina lo tzrichas. So Ravina said to him, you don't have to do this. Halchi amarava halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. We've already established that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, and therefore there is no difference in the Zimun for 10 versus 100, so you don't have to try to collect 100. You're not going to get anything. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rava ki achlinon rifta beresh kalusa. So Rava said, when we used to eat, break bread, right? When we used to have a meal at the house of Resh Kalusa, mevarchinon gimel gimel. We used to bench in groups of three. Even though there were a lot of people assembled for the meal at the house of the Resh Kalusa, we broke up into smaller groups of three and three. Vilevarchu yud yud. So I don't understand, why don't you at least try to break up into groups of 10? This way you could use Elokeinu in your Zimun. To which the Gemara says, Shama Reish Kalusa Ve'ikbid. Because if we bench in a group of three, the truth is the Reish Kalusa doesn't hear, because he's got a lot going on, and he won't be angry that we're benching a little bit early. But if we start to go ahead and organize Minyanim for benching, what's going to happen? The Reish Kalusa is going to hear, and he's going to get upset. Apparently the meals went on for a very long time, so people wanted to bench and go home, but they wanted to do it quietly. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why don't you just wait until the Reish Kalusa is done and be Yotze with his Zimun? I did the Avshu Kuli Amo Lo Shami. So also the Gemara says that there was a bigger problem, a technical problem, that it was so noisy at these meals that even when the Reish Kalusa would finally lead benching, most people weren't even able to hear him. So the conventional wisdom was, if you can't hear him anyway, we might as well organize our own Zimun, but they're not going to make it into a minyan, because then it becomes a little bit more public. If it becomes a little bit more public, the Reish Kalusa is going to get offended, and we don't want to do that. Therefore, they just bench with their little Zimunim. Amar Rabba Tosfa. Hani Gimel, the Karchi Rifta Bahadi Hadad. Supposedly, it's actually very interesting. If you have three people that broke bread with each other, the Kadim Chad Minaihu Ubarach Ledate. So I said, listen to this case. This happens all the time. You have three people eating together, and what happens? One guy is in a rush. See, he benched already. So now what happens to the other two who now want to bench? So the Gemara says the following. Inun nafkin bezimun didei. They can use him as part of their zimun. Ihu lo nafik bezimun didahu lefi she'in zimun lamafreya. So interestingly enough, even though he benched already, he is still considered to be part of their zimun group, and therefore they could bench the mezumin even though he has already benched. But even though he's not part of the mezumin, he doesn't get the retroactive, we'll call it reward, right, of benching the mezumin, because ein zimun lamafreya. So meaning we kind of straddle the fence. We can count him, but yet for him personally, he does not get the benefit of having benched b'mezumen. Rabbi Shmuel says the following. So again, Rabbi Shmuel is the last statement to the Mishnah who said that in Shul we should just say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Right? So Baruch Hu Es, meaning Rabbi Kiv was the one who said that in Shul we say Baruch Hu Es Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel said it should be Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Rav from Bar Papa, Ikla lebei Knishta da Abi Givar. So Rav from Bar Papa, went to the shul in this place, Abi Givar. Kam kra b'sifra, v'amru Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So he went ahead and got an aliyah, and he just said Baruch Hu Es Hashem v'ishtik v'lo amr hamavorach. And when he got his aliyah, he just said Baruch Hu Es Hashem, but he didn't say hamavorach. Av shu kulei alma. Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. So what happened? Everybody cried out in response, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Right? So he created a little bit of a stir. So Amar Rava, Pasya Uchma. Pasya Uchma means black pot. Black pot. Now, interesting, black pot is actually a compliment. Right? So black pot means, when does the pot get black? When you're cooking it a lot and you don't clean it out afterwards. So Rashi explains that this was often given as an echelet to Talmidei Chachamim, who sometimes were so preoccupied with learning Torah that they didn't always wash their clothing. So they were called the blackened pot. So black pot. Uchma, Bahadi Plukta Lamalacha. Why are you getting involved in this machlokes? So meaning, what Rava said to Rav from Bar Papa is, look, why do you have to go ahead and wait in on this machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Right? Because Rabbi Akiva is the one who said in the Mishnah that you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel said you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach. What Rava was saying is, listen, we say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach. Why do you need to make a statement? Right? So sometimes people like to make statements. So Rav is sort of saying, why can't you just do what we do? Just fit in. Why do you have to go ahead and make a statement that you're different than everybody else? Va'od ha'nahog alma k'rabi Shmuel. And furthermore, besides why you're making a statement, it happens to be you're wrong. Because right, we generally conduct ourselves like Rabbi Shmuel, and we say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Okay. Which also, of course, we know halacha l'maisa is what we do as well. Gimel she'achlu ka'achas Mishnah. If you have three people that ate together, einan resha'in lechalik, they're not permitted to split apart. Not permitted to split apart. What does that mean? That once you've gone ahead and sat, once you're eating the mezumin, it's not appropriate for you to bench independently without the mezumin. Rather, you should bench the mezumin. V'chein dalet, v'chein chamisha. Similarly, if you have four or if you have five. Vav nechlokin adasara. So the truth is, this is true whether you have three, four, five, six, seven. You should bench together as a group until 10. Right? Excuse me. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Right? Susha shachas in Rosh Hanukkah. If you have three that ate together, you should not split up. V'chein dalit, v'chein chamisha. So too if you have four, so too if you have five. You should stay together as a group. Vav nechlokin adasara. If you have six, seven, eight, or nine, you're permitted to split up, bless you, into smaller zimunim. Ad asara. Unless, of course, you have ten. Until ten. Va'asara ein nechlokin. Ad chof. And a group of ten may not split up until what? Until you have 20. Because 20 would then allow you two groups of 10. Shtei chaburos shahayu ochlos bebayis echot. If you have two groups that were eating together in one house. Bizman shemiktsas and ro and elu es elu, as long as some of the members of the group see each other, so some members of each group see one another, then hare elu mitstarfen lezimun. Then the two groups can form together as one cohesive group. However, ve'im lav, but if members of the group cannot see it, meaning you don't need the entire group to see each other, you just need some members of the group to see each other, ve'im lav, but if none of the members of either group see one another, then elu mezamnen la'atzman, ve'elu mezamnen li'atzman. Then each group benches on their own. Ein mevarchin ala yain achitin usocha mayim. Similarly, you may not go ahead and make a bracha of brei pri hagafen on wine until you dilute it with water. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, these words of Rabbi Eliezer, the chachamim mevarchin. And the chachamim say, no, even undiluted wine gets a bracha of borei pri hagafen. Says the Gemara. My kamash malon, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Tanina chadazimna, gimel sha'achlu ka'achas chayavin lezame. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, what is the Mishnah teaching us? We've already learned once before that when three people eat together, we actually just saw it in the previous Gemara, that when three people eat together, they should not split up, they should maintain their zimun integrity. So the Gemara says, it's very interesting. Ha kamash v'lan ki yada am rabi abba am Shmuel. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah is coming to teach us another fascinating idea, which is what? Gimel sheyashu le'echol ka'achos, that if you have three people that sat down to eat, va'adayin lo achlu, that they have not yet eaten, einon rasha'in lechalik. So we'll say, this is quite amazing. The novelty of the Mishnah's ruling is that if you have three people that sat down with the intention to have a su'ud, that even if what? They have not yet begun to eat, they may not split up. Meaning sitting down for the intention to eat is in and of itself the beginning of the su'udah, which by definition is the beginning of their zimun obligation, which means they shouldn't split up. Lishnach rina, another possibility, Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Hachi katoni, gimel sheyashvu le'echol ka'achos, if you have three people that sat down to eat together, afapi shekol echad ve'echad ochel mikikaro, even though everyone's eating of his own loaf, einon rasha'in lichalik, they should not split up. So you both say, I might have thought that maybe the obligation of Zimun is only created when they're eating from shared food, right? But if everybody comes and essentially eating their own thing, so maybe that doesn't create a Zimun cohesiveness. Kamash malon, no, even if everyone's eating their own stuff, if they sit down together, that's Zimun, and they should not split up until they bench b'mezumen. I'm sorry? Well, no, Shalashudis, we're still all eating of the same. He's talking about, let's say we're co-workers, and we sit down to eat lunch together. You're eating your sandwich, I'm eating my sandwich. There's absolutely no collective food that's binding us together. That's still called the Chiyav Zimun. Still called the Chiyav Zimun. Inami, now I've also, this is a fascinating case. Ki Hadar Afuna. Or the other possibility is the Mishnah is coming to teach a statement of Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna say? Dam Rav Huna, Gimel Sheba'u Mi Gimel Chaburos. If you have three people that came from three different groups, Einan, Rasha'in, Lechalik, they should not go ahead and split up until they bench. So we'll say, what does this mean? Imagine the following case. You have three people that came from three separate groups. We'll discuss the size of those groups in just a moment. And now those three people come together. So what the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying over, Rav Huna is saying over here, is that Allah Chalamaisa, when the three come together, they should bench b'mezumin, even though what? They did not actually eat together. So what's the case? Amar Rav Chisda, v'hu sheba'u migimel chaburos shel gimel b'nei adam. But Rav Chisda said, that's assuming that what? They came from three groups, right? Of three people each. Now Rashi is going to redefine that in just a moment. Amar Rava said, v'lo amran, ela delo akdimu hanach va'azamin alayu b'dichtayu. Furthermore, this statement is only said when their group didn't already include them in the zimun. Aval azmin alayu biduchtayu, but if they were included in the zimun of their group, paruch zimun minayu, then the obligation of zimun has left them. So we'll say, Rashi points out over here that the case here must be the following, where you have three people that are coming from three groups of three people in addition to them. So meaning three people who come with groups of four. And the case over here is each person left their group before the group benched b'mezumen, right? And now these three people sit down together. Now, they're not eating anymore. But the difference is that what? They each sit down together, and each of them brings with them what? Their chiyuv to bench b'mezumen. So the novelty over here that the Mishnah is teaching us according to this approach is that when three people who come with their independent obligation of zimun sit down together, they can form their own zimun, even though they have not actually eaten together. The Gemara is just saying is that's only true if they weren't included in the original zimun of their groups. because once they've been included in the zimun of their groups, their zimun obligation has been satisfied. And even though they themselves haven't benched yet, and they would not be able to form a new zimun with this new group. So the Gemara gives a riot for this Amar Rava, Mina Amin Allah. So Rava says, how do I know this idea that if the group included them, if the original group that they ate with benched already, that they no longer have a chiyuv of zimun? So Rava brings an interesting raya from a totally unrelated case. This nan, mita shenigneva chatzya, o sha'avde chatzya. So we'll say, if you have a bed, now the case of here is the bed was tame. That's it. So the bed the Gemara talks about was really a frame with ropes, right? And the ropes itself supported some type of mattress. It was a cleat, what you consider a utensil. So now the bed became tame. However the bed became tame, a dead person was laying on it, or a dead sheretz fell on it. Whatever the metzias is, the bed became tame. And what happens? Then half of the bed was stolen, or half of the bed was lost, right? Because these were often made in parts. O shechakua achin o shutvin. Or the bed was jointly owned, and by brothers or by partners, and one of the partners of the brothers took his part of the bed. The halacha is tahora. The bed is tahora. What does it mean on both sides? If you have a kli that is tame, and then the kli is made unusable, the kli loses its status of kli, and when you lose your status of kli, you also lose what? Your status of tumah. So if you have a bed that's tame, and then it's deconstructed to the point that it's no longer a bed, it's not only is it not a bed, it's also not tame anymore. So it's Torah. Hechziruha. So now let's say you got back the other half of the bed that was taken, that was stolen, that was lost, and you put the bed back together, then what? Mikabelas tumi mikano lahaba. It once again becomes receptive to tumah. However, mikano lahaba in lemafreya lo. What do we see from here, Rabbi Osai? The Mishnah very clearly says it's able to become tame going forward, but it doesn't what? It doesn't regain its previous state of tuma. What do we see from here? Alma kevan de balguha parach la tuma mine. What do we see from here? That once the bed was deconstructed, the status of tuma literally left it. Status of tuma left it. So the Gemara is bringing a raya. Hachenami kevan de azamun alayhu parach zimun minayu. So the Gemara says, so too, once you are included in the zimun of a group, the obligation of zimun is no longer upon you. So in this case over here, if you were part of this group of four, and they benched, b'mizumin, and you didn't bench, and you go now somewhere else, even though you have not yet benched, you no longer have an obligation of zimun, because your group has already benched b'mizumin. However, again, if you leave your group before they bench b'mizumin, and again, remember, the Gemara is very careful to set up the case over here, is that your leaving doesn't sabotage the zimun of your original group, because that case we'll talk about. You're not allowed to do that. That's already this case in Mishnah. If you're part of the zimun, you can't leave. If they have b'mizumin without you, and then let's say two other guys and two other groups did the same thing, so you have not yet satisfied your obligation of zimun, you each come armed with your zimun obligation. Incredible chiddush. Because you each come armed with a zimun obligation, you could form a mezumin even though you did not eat any food together. So the Gemara goes by. Beis chaburos. So remember the Mishnah said if you have two groups eating in the same house, as long as some members of the group can see each other, then halacha lemaisa they form a zimun group. They could all form one group. So the Gemara says, Tana, im yesh shamish beineim shamish mitzarfan. So the Gemara says something very interesting, that if there is one waiter for the two groups, right, Rashi says, shamish shamish l'shtehem, shamish mitzarfan, afal pi she'ein elu roen es elu. So interestingly enough, the Gemara says that if the same waiter is serving both of them, then halacha lemaisa, even if the groups cannot see each other, they form together one group. Essentially because the common waiter binds the two groups into one. Okay? Aim of Archin al Yain. So if you remember again, in the Mishnah, we had a machlokes. So the Rabbi Eliezer said that you can't go ahead and make a goffin on wine until you dilute it. Right? Because remember again, in the times of the Gemara, they're drinking wine. I'm not suggesting you dilute wine. That's a shalom. But in the times of the Gemara, they're drinking, they had wine concentrate. So you went ahead and you have to dilute it. So therefore, again, in the Mishnah, you have Rabbi Eliezer saying you can't make hagafen until you dilute the wine. Chacham say yes, you can. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanon, Yain Achilo Nason L'socho Mayim. If you have wine, so wine before dilution, the Gemara says, Ein Mevarchen Ala Borei Priya Gafen. Number one, you don't make hagafen on it. Ela Borei Priya Eitz. You make Borei Priya Eitz. Why? Because essentially, until the dilution, it's no different than the pre. It's still considered grape. You make Borei Priya Eitz. V'notlin mimenu liyadayim. Furthermore, you could use it for washing. Now, what does that mean, you could use it for washing? Because essentially, until it's made into wine, it's just considered to be the water of the pri, which is one of the mashkin, one of the liquids that can be used for netilas sedayim. So since it doesn't have the status of wine, it's just called the fruit. It's called the water of the grapes. Therefore, you can use it to wash your hands. Mishanasam asocha mayim. However, when you put water into it, mevarchin alav borei priagafen, you make borei priagaf. Once you dilute it, the ein note lin mimenu liyadayim, and you may not use it for netilas sedayim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say, "Bein kach ubein kach mevarchin alav borei priagafen." The Chachamim say, either way, you can make borei priagafen on it, meaning before dilution, after dilution. Ve'ein notlin hemenu liyadayim. And furthermore, even undiluted wine may not be used for netilas yadayim. So the Gemara says, "Okay, kiman ozlo hada amar Shmuel." Whose opinion is reflected in the following statement of Shmuel? What does Shmuel say? Ose adam kol tzarchav bepas. A person could use bread for all of their needs. Use bread for all of their needs. So Rashi over here points out. Rashi yet. Kiman ki Rabbi Eliezer. So whose opinion is reflects Rabbi Eliezer? Also, what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer is the one who said that you could use undiluted wine for netilas yadayim, which is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he allows you to use foodstuffs for things other than consumption, other than eating. So there happens to be a statement in the show, which we'll go more into in just a little bit, that a person could use bread for all types of purposes at a meal besides consumption. We'll discuss specifically what in just a moment. So whose opinion does that reflect? The Gemara says, oh, that reflects Rabbi Eliezer, who also allows you to use wine for non-food related purposes. So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Modim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer Bekosh Shel Bracha, She'ein Mevarchin Alav Ad She'itin L'socho Mayim. So the Gemara says, even though the Chachamim normally say that you can go ahead and make Hagafen even on undiluted wine, they agree that for a Kos Shel Bracha. Right? So a Kos Shel Bracha, whether that's a cup for Kiddush, cup of wine for Kiddush, cup of wine for benching, Bris Milah, Chuppah V'Kiddushin, whatever, anytime wine is being used for a mitzvah, you really shouldn't use it until it's diluted. My time, what's the reason? Because the truth is, when it comes to a mitzvah, you want to go ahead and have a mitzvah. You want to go ahead and have a mitzvah done in the most appropriate way. So here's what's interesting. So now the Gemara goes back and says, Rabbis, but what are you going to do with meaning undiluted wine is not the normal way that people drink wine. But obviously the fact that they could say that hagafen, that undiluted wine gets a hagafen, means that according to the Rabbanon, so undiluted wine could still be looked at as a regular drink. So Gemara says, so what do you do with undiluted wine? Rabbi Zeira, chazi l'koraiti. You could use it for koraiti. So Rashi says over here, he quotes a French word, and it says, Ubalasha chachamim anumalis v'alunosis. So the Gemara talks about elsewhere about, we'll see this actually in a few dapim, anumalis and alunosis, which were drinks that were made with very, very strong wine. So the point that Chacham is saying is that even though it wasn't perhaps drunk by the masses, people did drink this type of undiluted wine, and apparently it was common enough that Chacham felt that you could still make a hagafen on it. Tana Rabbanan, Dalit Dvaran Ne'emru Bepas. There are four things that were said concerning bread. Number one, Ein Manichin Basar Chaya Lapas. We don't put raw meat on bread. Obviously, Rabbi said, if you put raw meat on bread, just the blood and the juice from the meat is going to ruin the bread. Ve'ein zarkin es ha'pas, we don't throw bread. Ve'ein somchin es ha'ka'ara be'pas. And Rabbi said, let's say you have a serving dish, and the serving dish is a little unsteady. So to anchor it on the table, you know what you do? You want to put a little piece of bread under it to make it steady. So you can't go ahead and use the bread to hold up the pot. So these are all examples of non-food usages of bread. Amemar umar zutra v'ravashi kar chorifta v'hadi adodi. So Amemar umar zutra v'ravashi were sitting down breaking bread together. Aisu l'kamayhu, they brought before them tamri v'rimoni, dates and pomegranates. Shakal marzutra pasak l'kamei d'rav ashi distana. So marzutra took a piece of meat and threw it in front of Ravashi. He threw the meat, Ravashi. Amar lei, lo savar mar l'ha desanya ein zarkin as ha'ochlin. So Ravashi said to marzutra, do you not hold of the statement that you're not allowed to throw food. So Yabosa, again, that's not just an etiquette thing. That's a kavod ochlim idea. That do you not hold that you, we don't out of respect for the food, we don't throw food. Hahiba pass, to which Marzucha responded, that only applies to bread. V'hatanya, but we learned elsewhere, kishim shein zarkin es habas, kachin zarkin es ha'ochlin. But we learned explicitly that the same way that you don't throw bread, you also don't throw other food items. Amalei, so Marzucha responded, v'hatanya afapi shein zarkin es habas, aval zarkin es ha'ochlin. So Marzucha said, I'll give you another braisa. The other braisa says, yeah, we don't throw bread, but we do throw other food. Not that we go out of our way to throw other food. But the idea is that there's no restriction on throwing other food. To which the Gemara says, Elokash, it's not a contradiction. Habamidi de mamis, habamidi de lo mamis. It depends on the nature of the food. If it's a food that can be very easily ruined by throwing, then we don't throw it. But if it's a type of food that won't be ruined by throwing it, then halachically you're permitted to throw it, as opposed to bread, which either way, whether it can be ruined or can't be ruined, may not be thrown. Thrown is probably too strong a word. They're not talking about, chucking something across the room. We're talking about, sometimes just instead of placing something down right in front of someone, tossing it in front of them. Tana Rabbanan, Mamshichin Yain Bitsinoros Lifnei Chasam Dekala. This is actually amazing. So apparently at weddings, what they used to do is, as a way of being Lifnei Chasam Dekala, they would create this network of, I guess it was transparent tubing. And they would put wine through the tubes. And they would do this as a form of entertainment for the chasan and kala. So Mamshichin Yain Bitsinoros Lifnei Chasam Dekala, V'zorkin Lifneiem Kloyos Ve'egozim, So the wine is, at the end of the day, they would drink it. Right? So it wasn't going to waste. They would drink the wine after it went through the network of tubes. And furthermore, you could throw in front of the chasan and kala kloyos. Kloyos is roasted grain. Egozim are nuts. Bimosachama. That's only during the summer. Avalo bimosagishamim. But not in the winter. I will say the chilik between that is because in the summer, if you throw the parched grain and the nuts at them, when it falls on the ground, you just have to dust it off and it's totally edible. As opposed to the rainy season where it's muddy. And if once it falls on the ground, no one's going to want to eat it. Then that would be bal tashkes. Avalo gluskos. But you may never throw rolls at them. It's a good idea. Right? Don't throw rolls at them. Chasen and kala. Lo bimosachama, v'lo bimosagishamim. Not during the winter and not during the summer.
This was a 5-second rule.
That's right. Amar Rav Yehuda, shachach vehechnis ochlin lesoch pe below bra. All right, so we'll say note. We'll stop over here. So we'll say, just so you should know, halacha lemaisa, we paskin that bread may never be thrown. Right, bread may never be thrown, which means that your challah on Shabbos, do not throw your challah on Shabbos. We hand challah, we place challah, you may not throw challah. However, other food items that don't get ruined, right, by the act of throwing, again, the halacha is not advocating throwing it, but halacha lemaisa, technically one is not in violation of halacha if one tosses that a little bit. But bread, under no circumstances, it's covered to the bread, is supposed to be tossed.
If someone does want a few pieces, whatever.